It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. I'm Keith Manley, and this is a program we call Fresh Oil. The psalmist David said in Psalm 92:10, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." We need a fresh touch from God each and every day to live out our Christian life. Hey, I've been so excited to teach from my new book, Grace Changes Everything. Because when you really grasp what Jesus accomplished at the cross, you'll never see your relationship with God the same way again. Now, yesterday, we talked about how there are only two ways to relate to God, law or grace. I told you the Bible is a book that contains two religions, Judaism, which is the Old Testament, and relating to God under the 613 mitzvahs, the commandments that were given to Moses and the children of Israel. And most Christians, without realizing it, they try to live in a dangerous mixture of law and grace. They try to live under the law, trying to keep all the commandments and be good enough for God to one day accept them, when all the while God has given you this free gift of righteousness. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And today we're going to talk about why the mixture doesn't work. To mix grace and law is deadly, and why it must be rejected if you want to experience the fullness of life in Christ Jesus. Today's episode is entitled The Great Divorce, Why Law and Grace Cannot Mix. And I bring this from a chapter in my book. The very first verse that draws a line in the sand to me is Galatians 2:21. Let's start with this bold verse that Paul spoke to the church at Galatia. He said, "If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Now let's pause right there. Paul doesn't say righteousness could be gained by the law. He said, "If righteousness could be gained by the law." He didn't even say if righteousness could partially come by the law. He doesn't say if the law helps a little. He says if it could come through the law at all, then the cross was a big waste. Do you hear the weight of that? That means every time I try and mix grace and law, every time we try to add a little performance into our position with Christ, we are declaring with our actions, "Jesus, what you did was not enough." That's why this matters, friend. This is not a secondary issue. This is not spiritual fine print. This is about the very foundation of your walk with God. You either stand on the rock of Christ's finished work, or you sink in the sand of your unfinished effort. There is no middle ground. And I might tip you off, no one has ever done it. Do you remember what Jesus did in Luke 5:37? He made a statement. He said, "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins." See, you can't pour the new covenant of grace into the old wineskin of law. It won't hold. It bursts. It leaks. It breaks people. And when we try to patch together law and grace, we create a religion that looks right, but it feels wrong. It sounds holy, but it feels heavy. It looks spiritual, but it lacks power. It talks about Jesus, but it keeps you focused on yourself. Why? Because grace and law were never meant to work together. They're not co-managers of your Christian life. They're not partners, they're opposing covenants. Now listen to me, I'm not being critical of anybody, but so many churches, that they preach the law every Sunday, and they don't even realize it. Now let's go deeper. Paul paints this picture in Galatians 4. He describes two mountains. Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law. That's the mountain of thunder, fear, and distance. And then Mount Zion, the mountain of grace, the city of the living God, where we come not with fear, but with full access. Paul said these represent two covenants, one that gives birth to bondage and one that gives birth to freedom. And then he says something shocking in verse 30. He said, cast out the slave woman and her son. In other words, get rid of the law. It doesn't belong in the household of grace. Now that's strong language, and you might not even agree with me, but it's the scripture. Paul isn't trying to be polite. He's not trying to make room for both. He's saying, get it out of your house. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump, Galatians 5:9 says. 1 ounce of law corrupts the whole batch of grace. Now you might say, Keith, do you believe that we are a lawless people? Oh no. I believe now, according to Jeremiah, he's written his law upon my heart. Now I desire to do good, not because of a commandment in the Torah. I do it now because the Holy Spirit in my heart teaches me and guides me into all truth. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're remodeling your living room. And so you get rid of that old recliner, you know, the one that has some tears, torn cushions, squeaky springs, and that unmistakable smell of decades gone by. And you buy a brand new leather recliner. It's clean, it's comfortable, it's designed perfectly for your space. You picked it out. But instead of throwing the old chair out, you shove it into the same room. Now you got two chairs in the same space, one beautiful and one ugly and broken. Which one do you think your guests will see first when they come in the room? Yeah, you got it, the ugly one. Which one dominates the feel of the room? It's the old one. And that's what happens when you try and keep both law and grace in the same living room of your heart. Grace is beautiful, but law is loud. It condemns. Law is ugly. It demands your attention. Friend, there's not room for both in your life. The law has to go. God wants your mind renewed to understand that he's given you righteousness as a free gift. Now we still have to make good decisions. We have to live a holy life. We have to do these things because grace will bring that out of you. Now here's what makes this so deceptive. Most Christians don't intentionally live under law. They just drift towards it, slowly and subtly. It sounds like this: God loves me, but he's probably disappointed in me this week. It sounds like this: I know I'm forgiven, but I need to get back in God's good graces. I'm saved by grace, but I still need to earn his blessing. See, that's mixture, friend. That's the spiritual schizophrenia we talked about yesterday. It creates insecure believers, never sure if they've done enough. It breeds comparison and competition and spiritual pride. I grew up under the law, friend. I could preach it to you. But I want you to know, it caused me to get born again again and born again again and born again again. I always felt like I was going to hell. There was no security to my salvation. Let me give you a warning today. The greatest threat to your spiritual life may not be sin. It may be mixture. Because mixture of grace and law, it wears a church face. See, sin should be obvious to us. We see it and we're like, that's not right. That's not for me. But the law, it wears a religious face. It sings worship songs. It posts devotionals. But underneath, it's quietly undoing grace. Paul was so passionate about this that in Galatians chapter 3, he said this: are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? In other words, why did you start with grace and now you think you'll finish by trying harder? Wow. I want to be real with you again. There was a time in my ministry when I didn't even know I was mixing the two together. I preached grace, yes, but I measured my own worth by my performance. If I had a strong sermon, I felt spiritual. If I got behind on my devotions, I felt like a disappointment. If church attendance was up, I thought God was pleased with me. If it dipped, I must be doing something wrong. I just assumed I was under discipline. And here's the scary part. I called that maturity. But it wasn't maturing, it was withering. I was exhausted, friend. My joy was gone. My confidence was gone. My peace was so conditional until God whispered in my ear, "You're still trying to earn what I've already given you, Keith." And here's what I've discovered, friend. Grace, it doesn't need help. Grace doesn't need backup singers, or grace doesn't need training wheels. It stands on its own. Jesus didn't die to supplement your effort. He died to replace your effort with his righteousness. He didn't say, "It is started." He said, "It is finished." Tetelestai. That's why mixture is so dangerous. It dishonors the finality of the cross. See, when Jesus cried out those words, "It is finished," he was saying there, "I've paid the price. I've kept all the commandments for you because I know you could never do it in your own flesh." He said, "I died for every wrong thing you ever did." See, friend, that's why mixture is so dangerous. It dishonors the finality of the cross. It takes the spotlight off of Jesus and it shines it back on you. But grace says, look at him, not yourself. Look at what he did, not what you failed to do. So let me ask you honestly today, friend, are you living in mixture? Have you added performance to your position with God? Are you holding on to the law out of fear that maybe grace might not be enough? If so, I've got a word for you today. Let it go. Let go of the fear that says you'll slip if you don't hold the law. Let go of the guilt that says you're not doing enough. Let go of the pride that says you can earn your way. Throw out the old chair. Cast out the slave woman and break the old wineskin. The great divorce must happen. Law and grace, they can't coexist. Let me give you a preview of tomorrow's program. Tomorrow on Fresh Oil, we're going to talk about the exhausting cycle of performance. See, sometimes when you're trying to gain your righteousness through the law, it feels like you're on a treadmill and the speed is turned up high and you're going to fall. And so we're going to be talking tomorrow, a message entitled "From Sunday to Saturday, Breaking Free from the Cycle of Striving." We'll look at why so many Christians start their week full of passion, but they end it full of guilt. And we'll uncover how to live from grace each and every day, and not just on Sunday. Remember, until then, you're not under the law. You're under grace. And grace, it really does change everything, friend. Father, bless everyone who's listening today. I pray that they'll walk in your grace, God, and experience the freedom that I have found in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks, friend, for joining me today, Walk in Grace.
What if one encounter with grace changed everything? In a world marked by striving, shame, and brokenness, grace offers something radical: transformation. Keith Manley's newest book, entitled "Grace Changes Everything," is a soul-awakening journey through the power of God's unearned favor. With personal stories, scriptural insight, and heartfelt encouragement, Keith Manley shows how grace isn't just a concept, it's a force that restores, renews, and redefines your life. Whether you're weary from religion or wounded by life, grace still has the final word. A fresh, timely reminder that God's grace still reaches the darkest corners of our hearts.
Grace Changes Everything is the sequel to my book, The Grace Revolution, and it's available today on Amazon.com in paperback, hardcover, and the Kindle ebook. Get your copy today of Grace Changes Everything.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he makes his mercies new every morning.